Live from the WGY studios every Sunday,
this is the Paul Potrat Show.
Stop spraying and praying. You're wasting money.
Millennials aren't lazy. It's how you lead them.
When you sell by price, you die by price.
The Paul Potrat Show, helping your business grow and stay relevant.
Covering the latest technology for business, leadership trends, and changing your mindset on marketing.
Now, your hosts, Paul Potratz, the business architect, and Samantha Zewalinski, the millennial entrepreneur.
In today's hour, our actionable topics are: business is always evolving, what you can learn from Netflix, how you can find customers without an advertising budget, and strategy tips you can implement starting today.
Sam, welcome. Why am I saying welcome? I mean, you're part of the show here, and this is our first show, so I'm really excited about this. I mean, and we're going to kind of go out of context a little bit, what our normal platform is, and you know, you brought up a topic, Netflix. I think that's very interesting, because if you look at Netflix, they had 23.4 million paid subscribers in 2012, and now they have 50.9 million subscribers. So they surpassed cable TV subscribers. And I mean, if you think about that, I mean, so we're business owners, more or less. What does that say to you? I mean, why are people leaving cable TV?
Well, technology is ever evolving. And I think one thing that businesses need to do is they need to adapt. And one thing Netflix did was found an opportunity that cable wasn't providing their subscriber base and getting to them faster, easier on the platform of choice compared to having to be stuck in your living room and tuning in and watching commercials.
I think that's a good point. I mean, but you kind of think about it. So Netflix, you have the ability to watch your TV show when you want to watch it, where you want to watch it, how you want to watch it. I mean, so they've really made it a point that the consumer can use it how they want versus cable TV. You know, you really have to be there unless you're recording the show, but they haven't really evolved. But I think there's a bigger takeaway. And here's the bigger takeaway. So many times, I mean, we both know that business owners take advantage and they will spam a consumer. So if you really, you know, if you're thinking about it, I mean, why would you rather watch Netflix versus cable TV?
Well, it's when I want, where I want. There's no ads.
There's the key thing. There's no ads. So no commercials. And it just amazes me. I mean, you tell me, when was the last time you were sitting there watching TV and a commercial came up and the volume was like 25 decibels higher and you're like, oh my God, and you're having to turn it down and you get frustrated to the point that, you know, other entrepreneurs seeing that as an opportunity to create technology to be able to fast forward through the TV commercials. And I think that brings a whole nother point that so many times business owners or marketers, what they always do is they spam the consumer. They're always, you know, spamming them with information, A, that they weren't really looking for, or they're spamming them with price and they weren't even ready to purchase yet.
So what you're really kind of saying here is we're not taking the consumer mindset into our thought process when we're building our advertising. Instead, we're doing what we want as a business based on that really growth we've seen over the history of our lives, saying just be there all the time and then somebody will buy something.
Create a tremendous amount of noise or be like Crazy Eddie. I mean, I don't know if you've ever read about Crazy Eddie, but Crazy Eddie was that guy that had the electronics store and he would do these crazy commercials that were really loud and obnoxious, but he sold a lot, but he got into a lot of legal issues. So that's a whole nother topic. But yeah, I mean, spamming consumers with, you know, your product or your service you want to sell, and they don't even know if they really want it. And I think that's where Netflix, I don't know if they did that purposely to say we're not going to really do commercials, or if it just happened.
But what can we take away from that as a business owner that I can apply to my marketing, to my thought process on how can I get in front of people and have them be interested or buy my product?
I think that's one of the most painful parts for a business owner. Because when a business owner runs a commercial, they are saying, okay, I need to have, what is the price? What is the product? You know, and you have to be here by the end of the month. In other words, the Sunday mentality, you know, Sunday, 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 that type of thing. But it goes back to the point, the consumer doesn't even know if they want it. And why would you be talking about price in your commercial? Why you know, if you have pricing, your pricing's on your website or your pricing's with your account executives, why wouldn't you use that commercial to drive them to your website? Why wouldn't you use that commercial to more or less educate them about your product and how that product could change their life, how it could save them time, how it could save them money? instead of shoving it down their throat. Is that, am I really making sense with that, what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I think one thing you hit on there was the idea of saving time, saving money, fulfill a need that customer has versus just kind of say, hey, you want this. Or a lot of businesses don't even do that. They don't create that desire. They just say you can buy it for blank. So remove that and create that desire for the product and interest and get them to that purchase point, which in a lot of situations is a website.
Yeah, it's a website, and something is even evolving even more so. And I kind of hate to throw this into the mix, but social media. And I mean, you know, I mean, so many times where we talk to prospective clients and they don't understand the value of social media, they think it's for kids, but social media is really an amazing force. I mean, it's unbelievable what you can do with social media. And so many times you kind of think about what's happening with social media now. So let me kind of back up just a little bit. You think about what happened, that business owners and marketers have always been advertising on radio, TV, newspaper, billboards, direct mail, and that's really an interruption advertising. I'm not saying it's a bad advertising because all advertising is good, but it's an interruption advertising. Now that business owners start advertising online on, you know, internet, social media, they take that same mentality over to social media, over to online, where they're trying to create an interruption advertising, which is completely defeating the purpose of what is the internet. I mean, what's the cliche of the internet? Any idea what I'm trying to get you to say here? It's the information what?
Superhighway.
Exactly. So you think about that. I mean, you go online, you're doing research, you're asking for information from a company, a prospective company that you might do business with. So you're doing research, and that's where most business owners are failing, is they're not giving the resources. They're not allowing somebody to do the research. They're trying to convert them to the sale because they have that mentality. They only have 30 seconds to try to get their attention.
So I think, you know, kind of pulling that all in, right? Our goal is to say, hey, as a customer, we want you to purchase our product, always our end goal. But where do we have that conversation with them? Instead of focusing on these really heavy traditional points like billboards and TV commercials, focus on the areas where you can answer their queries when they go to that information superhighway, the World Wide Web, and look for those answers as a business, have that information to provide to them, which will then get them to that purchase point. Because if you create that awareness, answer their questions, the price point doesn't always matter. Isn't that true?
Right. Exactly. I mean, you know, you think about it, if your product, you know, your product, your service, whatever you're offering, I mean, part of it, and we talk a lot about brand, part of it is how's it make them feel? And mm-hmm. if you can make someone feel in a different way, they're going to be willing to pay more for your product or service. And what I mean, make them feel in a different way, make them feel an emotional connection to your product, your service, your business. And I think about companies that's done a really great job. Starbucks, really great job. Mm-hmm. Apple, great job. I mean, and I'm sure you can think of a number of like clothing places that have done a really great job for you. Well, and you've never even been in their store, probably.
Well, at the end of the day, people want an experience. They want to buy things, but they don't want to be sold to.
You're right.
And when we yell price, we're trying to sell.
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of throw a little mix in here, and you're not expecting this. I know. Okay. Since this is our first show, you think it would be actually benefiting to talk about where we're coming from on this and why this is important?
So yeah, let's tell our listeners a little bit of our story. One thing that you mentioned earlier when you're talking about all of those different types of traditional media, I remember a story you always told me about how you used to fax customers and try and create attraction to your business that way.
Let's put it into perspective. It was 2003. 2003, there was no Facebook. Mm-hmm. There was no YouTube. There was no Twitter. So there was sites like Plurk. There was High Five. There was Bebo. There was Classmates.com. Boy, that's a flashback.
I remember
there.
That one.
Yeah. And MySpace. So I open up an ad agency. And so I'm doing advertising and consulting. And I'm saying, all right, how am I going to get customers? How am I going to find customers? And it was a digital ad agency. We didn't do traditional, as you know. So it was a harder sell. So the way I did it was the way I was taught when I worked at other ad agencies and worked for other marketing companies, was we were going to fax spam everybody. Mm-hmm. So we had four fax machines going 24/7. And we were basically spamming everybody's fax machine. And here's the amazing part. It actually did work to a certain degree. It mm-hmm. worked. But that was really the option because we had no advertising budget. We didn't have any money to advertise in, you know, the trade journals and everything else like, you know, our competitors did. So it was fax blasting. And we said, you know what? We're going to be cutting edge. And you know what our cutting edge was?
Moving to email?
Moving to email. So we started spamming everybody. So we went through the yellow pages. We grabbed email addresses. We bought lists. We did whatever we could do. And we started spamming everybody on email. And it worked to a certain level. But there was a wake-up moment when I said, all right, that's it. I've got to get on the road. And I've got to start driving around. I've got to schedule appointments. And that's what I did. And I went out to 17 different prospective clients. And again, you've heard me tell this story. So how many clients did we come back with?
I think the answer is none, right?
Zero. And so came back with zero clients. And that was really a wake-up moment for me that why wasn't I able to come back with any clients? And the reason was, A, it was confusing what I was offering because I'm a digital ad agency. And that was only 1% of a business owner's budget was digital. And that's where I came back and started developing content. And I think that's really what we are trying to talk about with Netflix and with advertisers is you have to be a resource. You have to, you have to tell somebody why they need your product, why they need your service. And that's what I started doing is I started creating videos. And I said, well, why wouldn't I start using all those email addresses instead of me trying to get someone to buy through the email, me trying to sell them and give them a price point, did I start educating them through the email? And that was 2003.
So that was really the evolution of how you became, instead of a really outbound sales company, an inbound company. You created inbound leads by creating the desired content your audience was looking for.
Right. And well, educating them. And not only did that happen that we were educating them, but it allowed us to become an authority. It allowed us to become, and I hate to use this word, but I'm going to say it allowed us to become an expert in a lot of people's minds when it comes to digital marketing, because the videos, and this is where it's really difficult for, where I talk to the entrepreneur groups and everything else. These videos are not sales videos. The videos are purely, strictly, how do you do this? How do you grow your Facebook followers? How do you grow your Instagram followers? How do you use remarketing? And you even know we lost some clients over doing that because the client's like, why are you sharing all of our secrets? And it's like, well, if you share this information, it helps our agency. And it's the same thing for our clients. Share the information. And we've had,
But you know what? We hear that, and I'm going to be honest and just say, yep, we can share things all day long, but there's a small part of the population that's actually going to do anything with it. So it doesn't matter if they know about it. It's what you do with that. And so it's about small steps you can take as a business owner, a manager, an individual within a company to begin to build your brand, to begin to build your business and create that attraction off of those tools that were being put out there. And I think we've seen it when it's done and done well, it works really great, but not everybody, if anybody, really does it.
Well, I think you bring up a perfect point, too. I mean, so think about this. When was the last time you had some type of a sickness or a rash or whatever, and you WebMD'd yourself, that you said, all right, I'm going to self-diagnose? I mean, have you ever done that?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
like,
so
what kind of bug bite is this?
Yeah, what is this, I mean, and that's what we do, that, before we, go to a doctor, we're going to self-diagnose. Before we go and get our vehicle repaired, we're going to self-diagnose. Before we call a plumber, we're going to self-diagnose. So, I mean, what happens, you kind of think about, I'm concerned that it's a DIYer, that somebody's going to do it themselves. And it's not that they're going to do it themselves. They don't want to feel stupid when it's time to hire someone so they can talk educated. And that's the importance of what we're really talking about. The idea of doing TV commercials and, price, mm-hmm. Do TV commercials that are engaging. The idea of using social media instead of just, blasting people with, hey, here's a picture of my cat playing, that you become a resource, you become an authority. And in turn, what happens is you can increase your gross profit, you can increase your referral, your word of mouth. So there's so many factors at play here.
So if I'm looking to do this for my business, what is maybe one or two recommendations you can make to get started? Because that can seem like a really heavy thing to do, is now create all of this content for my business. What's a recommendation that we can make so that way that is something achievable?
Really easy is make a list. I call it a swipe file, a list of questions that your clients and prospective clients have asked you, not having to do with price, and start a video content strategy and start producing videos answering those questions. As simple as that. And then get them on your website and get them on your Facebook page. It's as simple as that.
And I think one thing to mention there too is when we create that content, it doesn't have to be where we hire a video crew and we invest thousands and thousands of dollars to get that done. That's great if you have the budget, but creating those videos, you get your iPhone out and create a video, get it out the door and put it on your website, social media. It doesn't have to be highly produced.
Exactly.
So we've been talking about how a business can create content and use that to really propel their message and attract an audience. And this is something you did to build Potrats advertising agency with a series called Think Tank Tuesday.
Yeah. And I mean, and keep in mind what happened, though, when I finally decided, and I mean, to create Think Tank Tuesday, which is a video podcast, I struggled and I kept on saying, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And it was because ego was getting in the way, because I said, oh, I can't be on camera. I've got a face for radio, you know, whatever. But I just kept on struggling with it. And I kept on trying to find a way to do it. And then finally, one day, I just said, that's it. I'm doing it. I was forced into doing it. And so when I started doing the videos, they were really all over the board. They really had no direction, had no, you know, somebody, it was something,
no purpose, no consistency.
No one could latch onto it. No one would understand what I was doing. And it just kind of came to me. And that's what the point I'm trying to make is you have to create consistency. Because now, as I'm moving on, it's 2004. And I'm realizing, okay, I have to have consistency to be in someone's inbox. So that's where I just realized, boy, it seems like I'm sending emails on Tuesday, because Monday was just a crazy mess. So I had to, you know, deal with issues. And then Tuesday, I would finally get the email out after working all night. So then that's when I said Think Tank Tuesday. And that's when it came to me. Why not create a show? Because so many times we think a show should be on the radio, it should be on TV, but there's no reason your show can't be through email and by you creating a video. So I created the consistency with Think Tank Tuesday, pushing this video out. And after, you know, the videos, the database started to grow, and it was kind of weird because I only started off with a couple hundred emails, and the database started growing and growing and growing. And I realized what was happening is I was getting into more people's inboxes and people were asking me questions. And I was like, wow, this is really interesting what's happening. And I mean, do you see where I'm going and what's happening?
Well, you got out of your comfort zone. I think that's the biggest thing. Often we hold ourselves back because we're afraid somebody's going to judge us almost.
Ego. Yeah.
You got out of your comfort zone and you got in people's inboxes, and then you built your audience. You're building your business this way.
Right. And through this video, and I mean, somebody can, you know, if, and I'm sure you've seen it, like you've searched on YouTube and seen some of them were really bad. Actually, a lot of them were really bad for the first 2 years. They were really bad. They're still kind of bad. But anyway, so uncomfortable, ego was in the way. I had all the excuses, but I'm getting into people's inbox. And then before I know it, I actually start getting messages of people asking me to talk about topics to help them in their business. I was like, wow, this is kind of interesting. So this kept on going and going and going. And then something magical happened. I mean, you know, the economy, the Fannie Mae and the Sally Mae and all this stuff, everything was starting to tank. And I started getting requests to go and speak. I never, ever thought as a business owner that that was going to be part of what I needed to do. But it happened. And then I went to speak. And so I started establishing really, a following of individuals that knew who I was, and now they were referring our agency, and we were adding clients that way. I didn't have a sales force. I had no sales force. I had really no advertising budget, and we were adding clients.
So you go from 2003 to trying to bang on doors and nobody, you know, either taking your time or saying yes to you, to 2008, 2009, where most businesses were doing the opposite and you were growing because you've built this audience and this content that was providing your expertise on topics.
Right. And I mean, business owners should think about that. I mean, a lot of business owners have the luxury of having a sales force. And so if you have a sales force and now you start creating yourself as a more or less an authority, you're sharing information, you're giving information, you're increasing your credibility, you're making it easier for your sales force versus the traditional way what everybody does is, oh, we're going to buy leads for our company, or we're going to do, you know, pay-per-click advertising, search advertising. And again, all advertising's good, but I'm talking about an additional way to supplement. And here's a quick little story talking about that. So T-Mobile. So the CEO of T-Mobile, if you Google this guy and check him out, you'll see that he was very stiff suit and short hair and all that. And then he transformed himself. And now he's the cool guy. And he does a weekly show that he does on his Facebook page called Slow Cooker Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So he's established himself, and T-Mobile has continued to grow to the point that Verizon changed how they were doing their pricing structure, because they were losing, I think it was 300 and something million subscribers. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's guerrilla marketing.
It really applies to any size business, though, I think is what you're saying there to our audience. Whether you're a small or growing business or a large corporation, you can include the strategy, and it is proven successful by both.
Yeah. And I mean, and you see companies that are, you know, doing it and doing it successfully. I mean, T-Mobile's doing it. You know, there's so many companies, and there's companies out there that I'm not even aware of or you're aware of because it doesn't really fit what our interests and hobbies are. But there's a lot of them that are doing it.
But that brings you back to kind of your point earlier where you mentioned social media. Through these different opportunities and channels, you can make sure your message hits the right people, not just everybody, because then you're back to that spam marketing.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that kind of crazy, though, if you think about that? In 2004 is when Facebook started. 2005 is when YouTube came, and 2006 is when Twitter started. How things change so quickly, and how Facebook is such part of our lives, the vast majority of our lives right now. Mm-hmm. Did you know Facebook is responsible for more divorces than anything else?
No, I didn't.
I just made that up.
So don't quote that in your next, you know, business luncheon or something like that. I wouldn't be surprised, though.
I wouldn't either. I mean,
you know,
seriously.
All that technology. Well, I mean, think about what was that other website, the dating website for married people? That caused more divorces than anything, that list getting out.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, I can't think of what
you
it was
can
called.
Quote that one. That one's proven.
Yeah, no kidding. They released their list, though. That's kind of
But
crazy.
I think that brings up a really good point is that technology is such a part of our lives, and it is a part that, you know, there's stories about, or think about this way. Where does your phone when you sleep at night?
Oh, it's right beside my.
It's right next to your bed, right on your pillow.
And what's the first thing we pick up in the morning? You know?
You know what I mean? You have to make a conscious choice not to consistently engage with that cellular device, your computer, with all of those platforms. They're such a part of our daily ritual. So you need to use those platforms as a business owner.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, another point to make too, though, is, you know, talking about how social media was not even in existence that long ago and now how it is, that everything changes. Talking about how Netflix is now past cable subscribers, but we didn't even mention how Netflix put Blockbuster out of business. So, I mean, technology is always evolving. Consumers are evolving. Business is evolving. But the way we do business for the vast majority of businesses, they are not evolving. They're still doing the same sales process. They're still trying to talk to their consumers the same way. Excuse me. They're even limiting how they talk to their consumers the way they used to. What I mean by that, you think about it. I mean, how many times have you tried to do business with a company and there's no way to text them and ask them a question? They force you to pick up a phone and call them, or they force you to fill in some little lead form. They put you in a box and say, fill in this form and ask us a question, contact us.
They want me to do what they want, not what I want to do.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's the way the vast majority of businesses are. In fact, I can't think of a business that doesn't do business that way.
But we think about what we want as business owners or managers, not what the consumer wants. So often, I mean, put yourself as if you were buying your product. Would that be the easiest way to get a piece of information or a contact form? Sure, you get a contact form, but maybe it's all spam.
Yeah. Well, I think we lose our mind, too. They're like, oh, I'm not getting any leads off my website, and, you know, drive more leads to my website. You know, and it's just crazy. But we're and Netflix did the same thing. Netflix said, OK, hey, we're going to allow you to watch TV how you want to watch it, where you want to watch it, when you want to watch it. No one else has done that. And so business owners need to do the same thing. You know, what are you doing as a business owner, more or less, is what I'm saying, to allow somebody to engage with you how they want, when they want. It's simple.
I think that's a really good piece of information. And it kind of brings us to our next topic that we're going to talk about. And that's how you can find customers without an advertising budget. There's so much opportunity. You mentioned some of those platforms out there. So here's a quick tip. Let your customers text message you. That's something we don't let customers do to engage with us. But so often, Paul, how do you want to talk to somebody? You probably want to text or call, walk into business. You're never going to fill out a web form.
No, I just want to text. That's what I want to do. So I want to text. And I think that's critical that get it on your website that you have the ability to allow somebody to text you. And if you're saying, oh, I don't want to mess with it, well, then find a company that can handle it for you.
You're listening to The Paul Potrat Show on WGY. Now, more with Paul and Samantha.
So let's get into how businesses can find customers without an advertising budget. I think that's a real struggle and a need for a strategy for a lot of businesses.
Well, I mean, is it really feasible for a business to find customers without an advertising budget? Do you really think that's feasible, to be honest?
I think you have to have some sort of budget.
Yeah.
But I think in all reality, it's not about the amount of dollars you have. It's what you do with them.
And I think, too, it's also a mindset. It's a mindset of let's pretend that I do not have an advertising budget, or the advertising budget I have is very small, so I need to make sure it's very efficient. And one of the things that, you know, that I've seen a lot of businesses owners struggle with, in fact, I just had a call with this guy a few weeks ago on a consulting call, and you know, Samantha, we both do this, and we do it in the same way, that we ask a very simple question: tell us about your business. And he started telling me about his business, and I mean, we're 5 minutes into it, and I'm like, all right, wait. He's like, what? And I'm like, I have no idea what it is that you do. I mean, how many times have you talked to a business owner like that on one of our consulting calls?
That they're just, their message lacks clarity.
Yeah, no clarity. And I think that's the first thing that, you know, whether you're a salesperson, whether you're an individual going for an interview to, you know, get a job, mm-hmm. whether you're, you know, whatever you're doing, if you're wanting to be a speaker, if you want to get on stage and speak, I mean, whatever it is, you have to have clarity. And the vast majority of businesses don't have clarity. I mean, talking about clarity, when was the last time you did see a TV commercial you didn't fast forward through? And after you watched the commercial, you either said, hey, that was cute, but I have no idea who it was, or what was that?
More often than not, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's what's happening so many times. And I know it's, whoa, did you see that? The squirrel just ran by the window. So, I mean, and you know I do that a lot. No, a squirrel didn't really just run by the window. But I think it's just our attention spans are so short because we have so many messages coming after us, or we're so technology driven that we get so excited about technology and gadgets and all that. And we do the same thing in our advertising and in our businesses, that we do not have clarity.
Well, I think that brings up one thought, and I think it's really important for business owners, anybody in a business, to understand, is that we're not really competing against our quote unquote competitors. It's not the store down the road that sells jewelry that's similar to yours. It's not the car dealership down the road. It's not the restaurant down the road. It's all of those things that are gripping at our attention span. It's our cell phones dinging every 5 seconds because there's a new CNN update or somebody posted a selfie on Instagram. It's the fact that we have personal agendas outside of our professional ones. And so you're competing with all of those pieces of technology, not just those businesses. It's changing that mindset.
So really, it's so true, because I've heard you say this on stage when you're speaking too, but your competition is your grandmother, your aunts, your uncles, your nieces, your nephews, your friends, and even friends that you consider friends that you've never met in your life that mm-hmm. are called, you know, Facebook friends.
Yeah, those people you stalk and, you know, pretend like you don't know what vacation they just went on, but you've seen every photo they posted.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and I think it goes farther than that too, though, because, you know, your competition, really simply, is time. That's is as a business owner, as a marketer, you're trying to find a way to earn someone's time. But so many times we're sitting there, you know, as a business owner, and we're looking at other competitors' websites and going, oh, look what they're doing. Oh, let's do this. Let's do that. So now you're chasing them, but you're chasing them with something that's, I mean, just teetotally fruitless.
And that's really what we're talking about. So we started by saying, how can you get customers without any budget? But it's really, how can you use your time, your budget, your resources effectively to conquest all of that noise in the atmosphere?
Right. Well, clarity. I mean, so you have to have clarity in your message. So, I mean, here's the big takeaway: clarity in your message. What is it that you offer? And a lot of times we want to say, this is what we sell and here's the price. But what is it that you offer that's going to save someone time, save them money, make their life more pleasurable? It's as simple as that. You have to have clarity in the message. How is it going to connect with somebody emotionally? How is it going to help them? And like the individual I was talking to on the consulting call, you know, the service that he was offering, I was like, give me clarity. Why would someone want to spend money with you? What is it? What's it going to do for them? And I gave him an assignment of doing a mind map, and he didn't know what a mind map was. And so I explained it. We sent him the mind map document.
So if you don't know what a mind map is, go over to the Paul Potratz website, which is paulpotratz.com, and our audience can find what a mind map is and how they can create their own. Because one thing you're doing every week is giving resources based on the topics of our show.
Right, exactly. And a mind map is a beautiful thing because it allows you to see, you know, what exactly is someone interested in? And, you know, you just rattled off Paul Potratz. Boy, I'm even starting with my own name. It's really ridiculous. But a lot of people can't spell Potratz, so it's really easy. You know how I tell everybody to spell it?
I love this part. I think it's fun.
It's spell Potratz with a Z.
So Potratz with a Z. So PaulPotratz.com, or to remember it, PaulPotratz.com.
Yeah, boy. And then people make fun of me after that. So anyway, so the first one's lack of clarity. And you have to have clarity in your message. You have to have clarity in your day. You have to have clarity. And I mean, and there's so many things we're going to talk about in upcoming shows about that, about clarity, because that's critically important. It really is changing a mindset.
And I think with that, too, is one thing we're going to be doing starting next week is our business breakdown, which is a 7-minute consultation opportunity live on our show.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. So we're going to allow business owners are going to call in.
Or managers or anybody in a business.
Exactly. It's not just business owners. I mean, if it's a manager wanting to move ahead, or if it's a salesperson wanting to make more, it regardless. I mean, the show that we're putting together here is really for anyone that wants to move ahead.
To answer anybody's questions on business.
Right, exactly. It's what we get excited about. And so I'm excited about that. We have a phone number for them to be able to call in on that, too.
We do. So the way it's going to work is we're going to focus on 7 minutes for each person that calls in, and they can call 855-POTRATS. So again, 855-POTRATS.
Potratz with a Z.
Potratz with a Z. And what you can do is you can even call in now. So what you can do is record a voicemail with your name, your business. If you want to leave your business out, go ahead and do that. And your question. We're going to pick the best questions we receive every week and call you to feature you live on the show. So you'll get a live 7-minute consultation where we'll answer your question.
Yep. And it can be anything. I mean, it can be, you know, how do I find more employees? How do I motivate employees? Or, you know, how do I deal with millennials?
How do I provide clarity in my product?
Yeah. It's so many things. With some, you know, other ideas, you know, it's whatever someone thinks.
Whatever you want to make it.
Because I just think about, you know, starting the agency and the consulting firm in 2003. I mean, it's not every year has been, you know, wow, we're knocking it out of the park. I mean, there's been a lot of struggles. There's been a lot of successes. And I mean, it applies for any type of business.
And I think the thing is there's so many questions to be answered, but nobody to answer them.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big part. I mean, you know, people try to more or less WebMD themselves online, but there's so much stuff online. And I mean, the people that's giving the advice, are they really living it? Have they really lived through it? So I'm excited about that part.
So we basically run an advertising agency located in Schenectady. Yep. And there's struggles we've gone through as a business over the years. So why don't we talk about some of those struggles and solutions, strategies businesses can learn and use from those?
Well, okay. So lack of clarity was definitely the first one, because I didn't have a lot of clarity because I'm really a gadget freak. You know, but I think the biggest one is finding employees. And when I say finding employees, you know, it's easy enough to hire people, but it's hard. It's very difficult to find people that will actually live the vision, cast the vision, believe in your vision. And that's one of the most difficult things. And I think that, you know, thanks, Samantha. So where you've been with me for a number of years and you believe in the vision, and you know, I mean, how many times have we had people come in just for a paycheck and they didn't have the vision, that they didn't appreciate the clients the way we appreciate the
clients? And I think that's one thing we've learned is, you know, through that we've had those people and they don't help our business grow and flourish. If anything, it's usually the opposite. But also you learn things from how to interview for those people and how to find that talent and cultivate it. I think that's one big thing that a lot of businesses miss is cultivating that atmosphere of ideas, of leadership, of, you know, run the business like it's yours.
Yeah, well, I think you have to set the pace. And as an entrepreneur, you have to set the vision. You have to set the pace. And, you know, if you're a consulting company like us, an advertising agency, then you've got to set the pace of creativity. You've got to be really pushing creative
innovation.
Thought process, innovation. So you've got to push all of that. But, you know, this brings an interesting point, and hopefully this is the right time. There's a phrase out there. We've all heard entrepreneur. But what about the other one?
Entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur.
So this is my favorite. And I think this was an aha moment for me. I think it was a few weeks ago, maybe even a few months ago now, we were talking about it. And how it came up was we were looking at hashtags on Instagram. And it seems like everybody and their mom is calling themselves an entrepreneur. It's a sexy thing right now.
Yeah, it's the in thing.
but it's all BS. I'm just going to say it because it is, you know, and I was hashtagging entrepreneur because I wanted more likes on my Instagram page, but it's not true. It's a complete lie. I am the definition of an entrepreneur. Do you know what an entrepreneur is?
Why don't you spell that? Is that what it starts with an I or it starts with an I?
It starts with an I-N. So replace the E-N of entrepreneur with an I-N of entrepreneur. So instead of on the business and building the business, you're in the business and building it that way. So it's finding talent, finding individuals to take the vision the entrepreneur had and expand upon it, to build upon it. I think we all have seen products work with products day in and day out that were the vision of entrepreneurs. I'll give you an example, 3M and the Post-it.
Oh, yeah.
That was built by somebody within the company, had an idea, and they cultivated that individual, allowed them to use their resources to be able to now create what I have an addiction to, Post-its.
Mm-hmm, you do. No doubt. Entire computer screen.
But that's an example of how within a company you can use your team, the correct employees, which I don't even want to call them that because they're your team, build your business and make it better. Create that innovation for new products because like we were talking about earlier, if you just do it the same way you've done it, you're going to be obsolete at some point. It's just a matter of time.
Right. I mean, it's so true. So an entrepreneur though, I mean, how do you cultivate that? I mean, you tell me. I mean, you've stuck with me through thick and thin and craziness and ups and downs and sideways and everything else. How do you cultivate that? I mean, what's motivated you? Let's get into the Samantha personality. What's motivated you to stick around?
I think really it comes down to having the opportunity to vocalize your ideas and provide value within a company. And I think that's what it is by being able to create and innovate in a space that then I can see the success or, you know, a lot of the time it may not be a success. It's a learning experience both for myself and for the company itself as well. But you get to spend the time versus just having to stick within the status quo, coming in, checking your email, talking to clients, same thing day in and day out. Without that, it's monotonous.
Right. So you have an ownership value is what's going on.
Exactly. So it really is this a similar mindset. There's different motivations behind an entrepreneur and an intrapreneur, but it's very similar mindsets in regards to creating and innovating and putting a product out there, but you're just doing it within the foundation and the resources that a company already has established.
So I think it's important that we write down the word entrepreneur and figure out how we're going to make more entrepreneurs within our company. I think that's key. So why don't we mention the phone number again? And so here it is. Next week, we want you guys to call in and ask your questions. What's that phone number?
It's 855-POTRATS, 855-POTRATZ.
Boy, that's a mouthful right there. It's beautiful that we ended up with 7 characters to be able to do that. So call in, ask your questions. We definitely want to hear from you. And the more creative the question, and again, you can call in 24/7, record your question, the more creative the question, but it's got to be legit. It can't be something made up. So call in and we'll answer that question, maybe on air, but you don't have to mention your company if you don't want to do that.
So if you're just joining us, we've been talking about strategies for your business and entrepreneurship versus intrapreneurship. But I think ego plays a really big element in each of those.
Well, I mean, yeah, definitely ego could play a big part. I mean, not for me, of course. I mean, if you've ever seen my pictures, you know I have no ego. So, and in all seriousness, I don't have an ego. It's just my mother raised me to make sure that I'm pressing my shirts, I have clean socks and clean underwear on. And that's what it is. But I mean, let's talk about that ego. How many times have we had a client that they're holding back their success because of ego? And I don't mean ego in a negative sense. It's just the way we were raised. My mom raised me that way.
Well, it's the definition of what ego is, not what we interpret it to be, right? So,
right.
I mean, that's exactly the example you gave. And I think that's what a lot of clients, businesses, managers, individuals who want to put their voice out there let affect their success because they just don't do it. That ego gets in the way of it. It hinders them from saying, hey, this is who I am and this is what I do. And this is why you want to know that.
Yeah. And I mean, in so many times, I mean, we've been told that, you know, we travel and we speak and we're on stages and we get off the stage after giving information like this and then, like right now. And then people are going, what is it exactly that they do? And that's where I've programmed myself to say, oh, I don't want to talk about what I do. It's like I'm doing a sales pitch. And I mean, and I have to get over that. I need to do the sales pitch and say, hey, my name's Paul Potratz and I own Potratz Advertising and Consulting. You know, as simple as that. But it's hard for me to do that if I'm on a stage or when I'm doing the podcast. But so just think about that. And you have a weekly podcast, a video podcast called Hard Facts. And you've been doing, how long have you been doing that now?
Over 2 years, maybe even three by now.
So that's crazy. So we started out with Think Tank Tuesday, and you know, which is available on Facebook, on our Facebook page, Paul Potratz. And you have Hard Facts, which is available on our website, which is Potratz.com mm-hmm. or PotratzNY.com.
Or the iHeart app.
Or the iHeart app or Spotify or iTunes and. But when you first started doing it 2 or 3 years ago, how long did it take you to finally do your first video episode?
I think we probably talked about it an extra year or so.
We talked it to death.
So, you know, and I think that's the one thing is we let ourselves get in our way all the time. I mean, I know I do it. I even do it for simple things. Like with this, for example, I made a joke to you earlier that you were ruining my hair by making me put these headphones on.
Yeah.
Because I'm afraid I let my ego get in the way of how I present myself.
Your hair looks pretty funny right now with those headphones on, just so you know.
We'll post a picture so you guys can see on Facebook.
There you go. Exactly. So, I mean, so you think about that. I mean, and there's all of these excuses. And I mean, and I did the same thing with my videos. Quit looking at my hair. Why are you looking at my hair? Is it bad? Okay. But anyway, so we do all of these things to procrastinate. And I mean, we let our ego get in the way and so many things. And it's not just like where we're talking about, oh, you need to do a video. I mean, it's changing pay plans, changing the pay plans on your employees. You let your ego get in the way. It's changing your website. You let your ego get in the way. It's changing your TV commercial and the way it looks. You let your ego get in the way. And I mean, and that's holding businesses back. I mean, you know, I've, you know, got clients that are dear friends and the things we keep on telling them, and they're letting their ego get in the way. They say it when we talk to them, I'm going to do it. All right, when are we going to do it? And they tell us they're going to do it, and then it doesn't happen.
So what we're talking about is how to overcome ego and turn it into something positive for your business, turn it into action instead of excuses.
So let's talk about some tactics to make sure that you can get the ego out of the way, that you need to do something, you know you need to do it, and you just have to do it. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Hit me.
All right. I think the first thing you have to do is set a date and a time that you're going to do it. So maybe it's 1 week from now. Don't put it out too far. It can't be any more than 30 days away. Set a date and a time that you're going to do it. And you need to find the most aggressive people that's in your life to hold you accountable. And you need to really be in their face and let them know that they're going to hold you accountable and they know the date and the time.
So set a date and time. And two is an accountability partner. You can't just hold yourself accountable or keep making those excuses.
Right. And I mean, and it's critically important because, I mean, you know, I think about the different things that, you know, that people do that I've done. And it's like, why do I keep on repeating this over and over and over? I don't want to live for 75 years doing the same thing over.
And it applies to your professional and personal life. I mean, there's an app out there. I don't know if you've seen this, but it pays you when you go to the gym or it takes money out when you don't. So it's helping to be your accountability partner.
I like that.
So whether I'd be really poor right now. But
that's cool.
So, you know, if it's technology or an individual in your organization, find something that's going to help you be motivated and hold you accountable.
Right. So you set the date. The next part of it, too, is to write down what are all the benefits. If I do this, what are the benefits? What am I going to receive from this? And you need to have these benefits where you're seeing them every single day. Preferably, you read them every morning and every night.
So it's reinforcement, goal reinforcement,
right?
Eye in the big picture.
Yeah, exactly. And then another thing to do too is whatever that thing is that you're going to do, generally, I mean, whatever you're going to do is okay for public consumption, is to put it on Facebook and say, I'm going to do this. So in other words, you're writing it on your Facebook timeline and saying, I'm going to do this and this is what I'm going to do it by.
And why is that? So why do we want to put it on Facebook? What do you think that accomplishes?
Well, I think it accomplishes a few things. First, it's gonna help you find more people that are going to support that and push you to do that. And you also don't want to be embarrassed because it's gonna pop up a year later if where it pops up in your timeline and you're like, wow. So if you didn't do it, you're gonna see it a year later and feel really bad about yourself. I mean, do you have any other ideas of why you want to do it?
I think one example would be if you're putting like a piece of content like we were talking about earlier, there may be somebody who wants that. So it can also attract individuals, but it's really that get me to do it, build awareness, and then things will follow.
Yeah. So, I mean, an ego is such a, I don't know, it's...
It's hard.
It's ego.
But it's beneficial.
And it's procrastination. I mean, they all fit together.
It's like ego equals excuses.
Yeah, it really does. So I don't know. And I mean, so like you had different things that were holding you back from doing your video. You were concerned about what? No, you come on. Don't you sit there and look at me like that. You know what you were concerned about.
I think I was concerned about the content, the information, making sure that I was providing something of value in the space and not just creating more noise for somebody to have to sort through. I was also concerned about my hair.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was ego for sure, 110%.
What about the radio show? This radio show. We've had Alan here from, you know, iHeart that's been saying, let's do this. This being our first show.
Mm-hmm.
And we've put this off for over a year.
And I think it's because we want to do something and do it well.
Right.
And that hinders you sometimes. You just don't put that date on the calendar and drive yourself to action.
Right. Yeah.
So,
and I mean, even this morning when we were preparing, I know I had a lot of, oh my gosh, why am I doing this? Why did I agree to this? This is ridiculous. I mean, all these things. I couldn't sleep last night. Could you?
I did. I actually slept pretty well, but I was excited. And I think that's too one of the things that once you do it, you realize how much fun you can have with whatever that thing is because you see that goal in mind. But I think too, you know, in all honesty, you make me nervous sometimes because we're in the car over here and you're like, what about this idea? What about that idea? My ego gets in the way and I'm like, well, we didn't prepare for that.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Like, you haven't learned that yet all these years.
So all these years that I still try and train you.
Yeah, I know.
It's like they say when you get married, you can't change your husband, but is there a statement about that for your boss?
I think so.
There's one now.
Yeah, there's something on there. There's no doubt. Well, I think that's, you know, that's part of it, too, that I mean, part of that's my ego that I'm saying, okay, well, we've decided we're going to do this. Like, we prepared yesterday. Okay, we're going to do this. And then it's like rethinking it. I think that's part of ego.
Overthinking it.
You know, part of that squirrel mentality that I use, because I mean, it is hard to keep me focused. My attention span really is just a few minutes and that's about it. I'm like a puppy. Yeah, I know. So there you go. So ego, you got to get over it. You have to stop procrastinating. You just have to move forward. Set that date. Get your accountability partners, not only on Facebook, but in real life, and have them hold you accountable. And I mean, it took me forever to get you to start doing hard facts. And you were all gung-ho about it. But it's like, are you doing it this week?
I wouldn't change a thing now.
Talking about changing things on hard facts, I mean, because it's on iTunes and all that. But we do Think Tank on Facebook, and we do it Facebook Live.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I'm pushing you to do is hard facts on Facebook Live. Let's talk about why is that? Why am I trying to get you to change to go? Here I am squirreling again. Why am I trying to get you to go Facebook Live like I did with Think Tank?
Well, I think you're pushing me to do Facebook Live because nothing stays the same. And we've been doing the email marketing for years now. So the evolution of that is moving to Facebook Live.
Yeah, I mean, just like we talked about earlier in the show. I mean, we talked about Netflix and Blockbuster and cable subscribers and, you know, how everything changes and how we used to do Fax Blast. So I think that's critically important in everything you do in your life is to always evolve, always adapt, and always change. So that's why I'm pushing you to do Facebook Live. I mean, you think about it. There's so many people spamming email. Why not add to the email? In addition, add a new platform, a new technology, a new way of doing business. So hopefully we can get a commitment on that soon for Facebook
Live. I'll get back to you.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I'll set my date.
Okay, good.
If you missed any part of our show, you can find today's actionable topics online at paulpotratz.com for today's recording, where we discussed how businesses are always evolving and what you can learn from Netflix, how you can find customers without any advertising budgets, and strategy tips you can implement starting today. Be sure to like the Paul Potratz page on Facebook, where we'll be sharing strategies and continuing the conversation throughout the week. Don't forget to call in to have your business featured on the upcoming Business Breakdown, where we can answer your question. The phone number is 855-POTRATS, again, 855-POTRATS, to be featured in an upcoming segment of the Business Breakdown.
That's POTRATS with a Z, though.
You've been listening to the Paul Potratz Show. Paul is the architect behind Potratz Advertising, an international consulting and advertising agency based in Schenectady, New York.
For more info or to learn how to work with Paul and the Potratz team to grow your business and improve your processes, visit paulpotratz.com. That's Paul, P-O-T-R-A-T-Z.com.
And join Paul and Samantha next Sunday morning at 11, right here on WGY.